Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivaji Kacharya Ashto Tarasari Shishi Maj His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gora Premanandi Namo Mishvaraya Krishna Stata Laishana Kadesham Dugri Chanamane Namaste Shes Guru Devi Vani Vani Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text Number 49. Evam Viplapanti Bala. Vipinenu gata patim Patita padayo bhartu Rudatya shrunya vartayat Evam vilapanti bala Vipinenu gata patim Potita padayor bhartu Rudatya shrunya vartayat Eva vilapanti bala Vipinenu gata patim Potita padayor bhartu Rudatya Shruni Vatayat Vipanenu Gata Patim Patita Padayo Bhatu Rudatya Shruni Vatayat Evam vilapanti bala Vipinenu gata patim Patita padayo batu Rudatya sunya vartayat Ladies? Evam vilapanti bala Vipinenu gata patim Patita padayo batu Rudatya sunya vartayat Evam vilapanti bala Vipinenu gata patim Patita padayo batu Rudatya sunya vartayat Evam Thus Vilapanti Lamenting Bala The innocent woman, Bipine, in the solitary forest, anugata, strictly adherent, patim, unto her husband, patita, fallen down, padayo, at the feet, bhartuhu, of her husband, rudati, while crying, ashruni, tears, avartayat, she shed. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. Purport: just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. I think we'll need to read the next verse too. Text 50. Chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyukalevaram adipya chanu marane vilapanti mano dadhe. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Purport: it is the long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Sahamarana. In India, this system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped the practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wives settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in the fire, and Kunti would remain to take charge of the five Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to re-establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantigam Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Tinatarinam. So there are a number of points here. The first one is both, actually. are an indication of the relationship between the disciple and spiritual master, the spiritual master and disciple. Or we could expand it further. The relationship that we have with the devotees and how dependent we are on good relationships within the society of devotees, and how our spiritual progress or spiritual advancement is dependent on the depth of these relationships. Vaidarbhi, isn't it? She's the queen. And Malayadwaj is the king. Malayadwaj is a very, very qualified devotee, and endowed with good qualities, prowess, spiritual advancement, knowledge, learning. And as a result of his good qualities, then Vaidarbhi, his wife, feels acutely distressed on his leaving the body, because he's her shelter. When the husband is very qualified, advanced in spiritual practice and understanding, then as it is described here, the wife, and I think in other purports in this section, Prabhupada explains that the pain of separation that the wife feels for the husband is such that she's able to endure the pain of the fire of the funeral. Because the pain of separation is greater, and a dedicated and devoted, such a dedicated and devoted wife attains the same destination as the husband. But, you know, that doesn't, it's obviously a very high standard. It's probably not a practice that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is going to establish as part of, you know, a rejuvenation of Vedic culture. You know, Prabhupada says that a wife doesn't have to follow a husband who's fallen, for example. This recommendation or this culture is describing people highly principled, highly devoted, highly advanced persons. But there's some basic information that we can glean from this. So, just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted naturally at the passing away of her husband, so the disciple should be similarly afflicted when the spiritual master passes away. Why is that? Because the disciple takes the order of the spiritual master as his life and his or her life and soul. The instructions of the spiritual master are the life of the disciple. And one follows those instructions, or one who follows those instructions is guaranteed to achieve perfection in this life. One who's not, and Prabhupada makes an interesting point here, one who's not able to follow the order of the spiritual master might as well die with the spiritual master. So, in this purport, second purport, Prabhupada says, this is a long-standing tradition, this sati, right? Long-standing tradition. But obviously had become corrupt, or maybe it was not corrupt, but not appropriate. And as Prabhupada mentions here, the wife used to enter the fire voluntarily, but sometimes was forced to do so by her relative. I mean, could you imagine the ghastly kind of a scene? Right? Somebody doesn't want to follow their husband in such a way, but the relatives decide that's what you've got to do, so then they throw her on the fire. Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada quotes the example of Madri and Kunti as evidence of the fact that this tradition was practiced, and it was done so voluntarily in the proper mood, in the proper understanding of things. You know, when things become simply ritualistic without a proper understanding of what the purpose of the activities are for, then the meaning is lost. I know of a number of my friends who have told me that they're coming to the temple and engaging in the practices of devotional service, worshipping Tulsi, for example. You know, it only really ever made sense. This is Indian families. You say, oh, my grandma used to do all of these things, but they never explained to me why they did it. Now when I come to the temple and I get an explanation of things, then it makes sense to me. Right? And has some meaning. And so therefore I'll enthusiastically embrace it. But if it was just something that grandma and grandpa did without any explanation, then there's no enthusiasm to embrace the same activity. So with a proper understanding of things, then one is able to follow the practice, but understanding the underlying principles. When the underlying principles are understood properly, then one can do almost anything. But when it's simply, you know, copycat or parrot-like repetition, then it loses its meaning. And then without the meaning, it loses value. There's no value in such imitative behavior. Spiritual advancement cannot be imitated or copied. Although Prabhupada does say, you know, imitation of a good thing is not bad, still one has to come to a proper understanding of what we're doing, which means not only following, but understanding very, very deeply the orders of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada says here, even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband, not forced, with the proper understanding of what she was doing. And with that depth of feeling and affection and dedication to her husband. But Prabhupada does make an interesting comment here. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. So this is for the ladies. What do you think about that? The men can laugh. Would you do that? But Prabhupada said, this indicates, he's not saying it has to, right? But we should be prepared to act in this way. What's that way? To deeply understand one's commitment to the process of devotional service, to deeply understand the commitment that one has to following the order of the spiritual master. And understanding what the order of the spiritual master is. Understanding who the spiritual master is, that's can be difficult sometimes. Because, you know, there's not a, we tend to, certainly in ISKCON we have somewhat focused primarily on the Diksha Guru, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Das Kaviraj and Srila Prabhupada explain that there is more than one guru. Right? How many gurus are there? How many gurus do you think we could count? You don't know. A million. Ooh. No, there are some basic categories of guru that are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books that Prabhupada's teachings. So what are they? What's... Yeah, three. I can think of four. Maybe we could get to five. Let's start off with one. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vatma Pradashika Guru. What does the Vatma Pradashika Guru do? What does that mean, Vatma Pradashika? Yeah, the person who shows the path. Each one of us has a Vatma Pradashika Guru. Actually, even in the category of Vatma Pradashika Gurus, you can have more than one person. I know I have two or three Vatma Pradashika Gurus. Interesting. A number of the devotees who brought me to Krishna consciousness are now not practicing devotees. And they weren't practicing then, would you believe? One devotee who was a disciple of Prabhupada who came to my house, the house that I was living in, to buy some heroin off of one of my friends. Can you imagine? That kind of gives you an indication of the kind of situation that I was living in. Not particularly conducive to Krishna consciousness. But I was a vegetarian at that stage and was becoming thoroughly disgusted with material life. And this devotee, I won't mention his name, and he's deceased now, he told me the story of Valmiki and how Valmiki in his previous, before he was a great devotee, he was a gunda, a robber or a thief who had performed many sinful activities. And he was preached to by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni wanted him, as Narada Muni does, wanted him to chant Hare Krishna. Chant the name of Ram, actually. And Valmiki said, and see, Valmiki is a very, very great devotee. He wrote the Ramayana, so he's a very famous personality. So he told Narayana, he says, no, I'm too fallen, too sinful to chant the name of Ram. So Narada Muni says, all right, chant the name of death. Since that's been your occupation, killing others, you can chant the name of Mara. So he got him to say Mara, Mara, Mara. But if you chant Mara, 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 it becomes Rama, Rama, Rama. Right? So Narada Muni tricked him into actually chanting the name of Ram. Right? So this devotee told me this story while he was waiting to get his deal from my mate and from my friend. So now that had an impact on me, because he was the first Hare Krishna devotee that I'd ever met, and I was attracted to the devotees. I used to see the Sankirtan party in the city, and you know, you could always hear the you could always hear the sound of that, and I'd be attracted to the sound of the kartals and the chanting of the mantra. So whenever the devotees would go by, then I had already learnt the mantra, and I used to chant along with the devotees. So I was very attracted, but at the same time I was completely scared of what all of that meant. You know, I figured that if you get mixed up with these Hare Krishnas, that's it, you're finished. Huh? Which is good, because, you know, in one sense, that's what, you know, to understand the value and the importance and the severity of the commitment is not a bad thing. So we should be scared about these things, right? So anyway, here was this devotee who'd come to my house and he'd preached to me, and he increased my faith in the devotees and in the practice of Krishna consciousness, because I knew very little at that stage. Then later on, a few years later, there were a number of my friends who encouraged me to go to the temple. A couple of them were initiated, and one of them specifically wasn't. I used to go to his place, and he used to take me to the temple. In fact, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day coming up soon, isn't it? Or his disappearance in June. Disappearance, yeah. That was the first day that my friend took me to the temple. I even remember the meal of prasadam that I had. And he wasn't a practicing devotee. In one sense, well, he was kind of practicing, but not practicing. He was another dope fiend, I guess you could say. He used to have Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra on his mantelpiece. But whenever he was smoking dope, they used to have this cover that they were sitting on. They just cover the deities over. Then, you know. But this devotee and his friends encouraged me to go to the temple. They encouraged me to follow the regulated principles. They encouraged me to chant 16 rounds. And it was a result of these people's encouragement. So they were my Vatma Pradashika gurus. They were showing me the way to Krishna consciousness, but they weren't even practicing properly themselves. This is an illustration of the fallen, you know, nature or condition of Kali Yuga. You know, the stories of us coming to Krishna consciousness are not as illustrious as the stories that we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But they're still relevant. It's still relevant to know and appreciate those who helped us come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And we should respect and honor those people. You know, I used to know where all of the Hare Krishna books were in my friends' houses. And I used to open them up and try to read them. And it was, you know, Prabhupada's instructions were just overwhelming for me. I remember reading the Nectar of Devotion, and it was talking about how God was a little boy playing in the forest with his cowherd friends, and I just... I just closed the book up and stuck it back in the bookcase and realized that I just couldn't comprehend any of this information effectively. So certainly we know Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya. He's our instructor, right, as the founder, Acharya of ISKCON. So has a very prominent position and influences all that we do in the Krishna consciousness movement, but still, and so therefore is the most respectful, or shall we say the one worthy of the most respect. But we can also respect those who give us his instructions, albeit even in a faulty way sometimes, you know, not entirely true to Prabhupada's instructions, but still we get benefit from that, so we should appreciate and recognize. What to speak of those people, or not to speak of those people, who once we become committed, once we've been instructed by our Vatma Pradashika gurus as to the process, we then are going to be taught by those who are called what? What's the next? Siksha gurus, yeah. The people who give us instruction. You know, I was initiated in 1978 at a time when Prabhupada had just passed away. And you know, you didn't get to choose who your guru was. There was a picture on the altar and you were told, here's your guru. So it was fine, okay, no worries, here's my guru. Didn't have to worry too much about who my guru was, because it was already decided for you. Solves a lot of problems, actually. Nowadays, you know, I have to deal with disciples who say, well, who's going to be my guru? And it can be a problem. Of course, Krishna reveals these things in due course of time. But I had very little association with my Diksha Guru. And I realized, you know, after some years, I realized that the people who were actually training me and who were actually guiding me in my day-to-day life, my Siksha Gurus, had a more prominent role to play in my development as a devotee than the person that I took initiation from. Took me some time to appreciate that. Then I realized, hang on a second, the people who, you know, the people who get you out of bed in the morning when you want to sleep in, you know, oh, leave me alone, or whatever. Come on, get up. Right? Drag you out of bed. Even somebody who you might argue and disagree with. Because usually we have this idea, you know, your guru is, we're always, you know, fully obedient and fully dedicated, and we do everything that the guru wants us to do. This is our idea of our relationship with our guru. But I realized that even the relationship wasn't necessarily fully awe and reverential. There was some friendship involved and even some disagreements. But still, these devotees, even to this day, I owe them a good deal of respect and even worship, if not certainly some appreciation at least, because these were the devotees who trained me, who fixed me up basically as a devotee. Right? Made me what I am today. So the Siksha Guru is very, very important. And Krishna Das Kaviraj, and one may have more than one. According to our tradition, one can only have one Diksha Guru. And usually, as Prabhupada explains, everybody understand what I mean by Diksha Guru? Yeah, one who gives initiation. You can only be given initiation by one person. Although in ISKCON that can mean at a time, because we've had the situation where some of us have had more than one initiation, with the regrettable instance of one's Diksha Guru leaving. But according to the Shastra, that's not actually required. One need only take initiation from one spiritual master, and then one is accepted by Krishna. So we've got three: Vatma Pradashika Guru, we've got the Siksha Guru, and we've got the Diksha Guru. I can think of one other, at least, Guru. Anybody like to guess? Jeta Guru, yes, the Guru within the heart, Krishna himself. Because each one of those external manifestations of the spiritual master is ultimately a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna reminding us of what our relationship is with him. That's what the spiritual master does, as Prabhupada says here. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to reestablish religious principles. Right? So Jeta Guru is reminding us, Haribo, spirit soul, you're my servant. You know, stop serving Maya, come and serve me. That's the message coming from Krishna. Either directly or indirectly through the association of the devotees. And certain of the devotees, this is why the devotees are worshipable, certain of the devotees will be instrumental or key in assisting us in this process of surrendering to the Jeta Guru or surrendering to Krishna. And then I guess in one sense, you know, there's also this position of, it's mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani, and it's a position or a role that we're starting to appreciate in Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya, which is another level of guru, if you like, right? That personality who sets the standard, who holds the beacon, who leads the sangha or the association of devotees, who creates the association of devotees. You know, before Srila Prabhupada, there wasn't the sangha that we now know as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Right? There wasn't. You know, Prabhupada would make the comment, you know, there are so many Bhagavad Gitas that have been translated, but how many of them are actually doing what Krishna says, that is, making people into devotees? Manmana bhava mad bhaktu, that's the first instruction. Well, not the first instruction, but certainly the first instruction of devotion. Manmana, always think of me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. So there's that unique, or those unique personalities like Srila Prabhupada. You could say he's our Sampradaya Acharya. Right? In fact, we say it sometimes in the Premadvani prayers, Samstapak Acharya. It means founder Acharya of ISKCON. So there's another form of the guru, if you like. Right? So what have we got up to? Five now. Prabhupada has a unique. So it is incumbent upon us to learn how to recognize these personalities that will exist in our lives, and then to properly acknowledge their existence and to follow their instructions or follow their example. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upateksyanti tegyanam tat tvanayos tatvadarshabhi. Is that right? Jnaninas. Yeah. Jnaninas. One who knows. I think, yeah, tatva, that comes from, that's a verse in the second chapter. If we're to be successful in spiritual life, then we need to have a very, very strong and deep relationship with our gurus. And that spiritual life is actually dependent upon following the instructions of the spiritual master. That means the little instructions and the big ones, right? In order for us to be successful. And as Prabhupada points out here, that relationship is so important that if one's not able to execute the order of the spiritual master, then one should be prepared to what? Die. Anybody here prepared to die? Better to stay alive and try to follow the orders of the spiritual master. It is the duty of the disciples, not just individual but collectively, to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciples should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, so the main point, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. So, how do we do that? That verse in the Bhagavad Gita gives us some tips. First of all, we should be sincere. And that sincerity is manifest in a humble approach. You know, pranipat, you know, we offer pranams. This is a sign of submission. So pranipatena means one should be submissive. And that submission is a measure of our sincerity. So the disciple places himself or herself before the spiritual master as a servant. You know, Srila Prabhupada said there was only one question that he asked his spiritual master. Does anybody know what that question is? Yes, how may I serve you? Right? Not, you know, sometimes, can you get me married? Or other personal considerations. The Prabhupada says here, without, abandon all personal considerations. So one has to present oneself before the spiritual master and then inquire, how can I serve you? But not only just how can I serve you, it's certainly the spiritual master is, even though described as the spiritual master is actually the servant of his or her disciples. And so it's the duty of the spiritual master to clear the doubts and to clear the misunderstandings and lack any lack of clarity in how to perform one's service, that the spiritual master should at least be able to do that. That's why Prabhupada says the spiritual master should understand the psychophysical nature, the personality of the disciple in order to help them. Because we have the basic practices of devotional service, but each one of us being an individual has a peculiar or an individual conditioning that requires appropriate engagement to be freed from. So not everybody has the same set of instructions, right? Or the same service. We have the basic instructions. And what are some of the basic instructions that we all get? What are some of the basic instructions? Chant 16 rounds. Yes. What else? Follow the four regulated principles. Don't offend the Vaishnavas. Serve the deities. Yes, study. Kirtan. Yeah. What are these items called? It's not a trick question, it's pretty straightforward. Huh? Yeah, the five potent forms or the nine processes of devotional service. They're all, every one of us is given. But when it comes to day-to-day service, we're not all doing the same things. Why is that? Yeah, we have different propensities, different natures, and those natures need to be engaged. So the spiritual master instructs the disciple from assessing the individual's conditioning, their propensities, their inclinations, then he engages that in Krishna's service. So the real test of our submission and the test of our inquiry and then the test of our ability to hear, because you know some people hear one thing and they have a completely different understanding of what they've actually heard. But the test of those things is manifest in our service, what we actually do for Krishna. This is a practical, you know, measurement of advancement. You know, sometimes devotees like to present themselves as being very, very advanced. Well, we can test that. You test a person's advancement. Do you know how do you test a person's advancement? What's the first thing you do? Prabhupada says, I think it's in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how do you test a person's advancement? Sorry? How they speak. Yes, very good. First of all, we test how they speak. If they don't talk about Krishna, what does that mean? Not advanced. But what if somebody is speaking highly elevated topics about Krishna? How do we then test if they're really advanced or not? Sorry? How humble? I know some materialists who are really humble. Humble cheats. Yeah, that's one way. Yep. Yes. Are they actually doing any service? Or are they just a show bottle? One thing that we shouldn't be. You know what a show bottle is? In the drugstore they have, at least when I was a kid, in what we call the chemist or the pharmacy, there would be these bottles on display and they'd be full of coloured liquid. But you know, if you try to take those coloured liquids and do it, you know, make any medicine out of it, Forget it. It's just water with dye in it. Looks good, but of little substance. Right? So we're not looking for, and neither should we be, show bottle devotees, but we should be of some substance, and that substance is generally demonstrated by some service. And especially in ISKCON, Prabhupada says here, Krishna comes to establish religious principles, so his representative comes to establish religious principles, and those who are dedicated followers of the spiritual master should do likewise. Isn't it? And so especially for us, Prabhupada says here, it is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master. And so we test within ISKCON how advanced a person is by how much they cooperate and work together to advance. You know, we all have different propensities to act. And so therefore we're not all going to be doing the same thing. Right? Maybe in our formative years we can do some of the Hare Krishna boot camp stuff. You know, all go out on Harinam, all go on book distribution, you know. Just. But as we get older and as our natural propensities manifest in devotional service, then we'll be engaged in a variety of different activities because we're all different. But our advancement will be measured, Prabhupada says, you know, your love for me will be measured by how you work together cooperatively to preach Krishna consciousness. And that we should be prepared to lay down our lives. In other words, what does it mean to lay down one's life? Huh? Disregard the personal considerations, yeah. What else? Let's hear from somebody else. Surrender. Surrender. Today, tomorrow, now. What do you think? Yeah. And keep surrendering. Right? It means for life. Not just, no, this is a phase I'm going through, and this happens, you know. This is a phase. I was a Hare Krishna once, but now I've moved on. It happens. You're all relatively young, but you know, a lot of the young men and women that I joined with when I was young are now no longer laying down their lives for the spiritual master as they did. So it's a very, very serious commitment to dedicate, to give one's life to the spiritual master means that you know, now I give my life's efforts to him, to Prabhupada, or to the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, especially those who have acted as my Siksha and Diksha and Vatma Pradashika gurus. I need to dedicate my whole life to them. And it's measured by our ability to serve together, which won't be easy because, you know, we are all individuals and we may not see eye to eye. Right? If I was to ask, you know, each one of you, what's your favourite colour? Right? We're all going to be different. Well, maybe there'll be a pattern. But that then causes differences of opinion. Right? In fact, Prabhupada says that's good because that's actually, we're not all one. We're all individuals, and as individuals, we'll all have different inclinations, different propensities. That's what makes life interesting. But measure of advancement, especially for a Madhyam Adhikari, which means a preacher. You know, the four characteristics of a Madhyam Adhikari are that they recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They recognize the devotees. They recognize the demons, those who are inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they recognize those who are innocent. So they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They make friends with the devotees. They avoid the demons or the asuras, the non-devotees. And they encourage those who are favorable. May not be fully devotees, but who are favorable, they encourage them. So that making friends with the devotees means working cooperatively together, despite the fact that we have differences of opinion. Sometimes we have to put our personal inclination or our personal preference aside, right? For the betterment, for the pursuance of the course of the spiritual master, and stay in the association of the devotees and dedicate our lives to serving the mission of the Adi Guru, I suppose, or the Samstapak Acharya, the founder Acharya. There's, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there's that nice quotation that Prabhupada uses. He lives forever in his divine instructions, is that right? And the follower lives with him. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Prabhu. Okay. No worries. I think Prabhu behind you wanted to...
Excuse me. You're from Australia, Prabhu?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just remember there was...
Sorry about that.
No, I was just remembering there was a devotee that was here. His name was Pratapana.
Yes.
Is he still...
Pratapana is still very active, yes, preaching in Sydney.
Is he still a lawyer? Is acting?
No, he's gave that up a long time ago.
Oh, I see.
He's a full-time devotee.
Yes, oh, great. I was thinking of that, I think it was called Transcendental, by Kermadas, a brown book. What was the name of that book?
Transcendental Adventure, The Great Transcendental Adventure.
I was thinking, and there was a town in Australia named Darwin.
There is a city, yeah.
And the devotees would be distributing there, and I think the first time they went there, the authorities came down on the devotees really hard and took their money, and I don't know. But
kicked them out of the town.
Pardon me?
Kicked them out of town.
Yeah, and then shortly thereafter there was a natural disturbance.
There was the Darwin cyclone, and basically Darwin was destroyed. It was Christmas Eve.
In 1980?
Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
1980? Was it?
I can't, it was before then because I hadn't become a devotee, I don't think.
Uh-huh. It was just happened like shortly thereafter.
Yeah, the devotees were doing book distribution. They got turfed out of Darwin. And then the next day there was this big cyclone. The cyclone came into the city, did like a figure of eight, destroyed everything, and then went off. Now, whether there's any connection, we may or may not know.
Do they get cyclones there very often?
Cyclones are not... a not unusual phenomena, no. But there hasn't been one that bad, in that area, since.
So things are more favorable now for the devotees.
I don't think they could connect the two.
I see.
But Darwin, you know, in Australia, the devotees are generally received quite favorably, almost anywhere. because we have temples and restaurants especially. Our prasadam distribution has made us very popular in the general population of Australia. Yeah. And, you know, we are able to distribute books on the streets and even in devotional clothes, even though it's illegal. The law is such in Australia that, you know, you can't actually legally go out and distribute books anywhere. But, you know, because we have good relations with the city councils and with most people, we're able to do book distribution freely without, so long as we don't pressurize people, yeah, then we're okay.
I was following, you know, the following Srila Prabhupada when Madhavishu and Srila Prabhupada were there in that hall, and there was hecklers in the crowd.
Ooh, yeah.
And Madhavishu Swami said, doesn't really speak very well for us if we can't accept a gentleman. You know, do you remember that? Did you ever watch that one?
That was at La Trobe University. You know, after that event, Prabhupada said no more public engagements.
Yeah.
Because the there was a very, you know, this was the Vietnam War, the Vietnam Moratorium. And there was an element of the student fraternity that was very anti-American. And so a lot of the early devotees that came to preach in, you know, certainly in Australia and other countries, were Americans. And so some of the local students didn't like the devotees because of they felt they, you know, they were American. The Hare Krishna movement was American.
I see.
So that's why they were heckling Prabhupada. Very uncouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? You're going to ask a question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here and giving class. You mentioned it's the one type of guru, it's difficult for me to remember. I have written here Vatma Pradakshika.
Vatma. V-A-R-T-M-A.
Vatma.
Pradakshika.
Pradakshika. Guru. And you mentioned you yourself that there were some devotees that helped you. That you felt a certain type of, and you went on to try to explain your relationship, but it was difficult. It sounded like for, you said there was a certain amount of awe and reverence, but a certain friendship too. And
oh, the Siksha Gurus. My Siksha Gurus, yeah.
For your Siksha Gurus, rather.
No, well, what I understood was that, you know, our relationship with our Siksha Gurus sometimes isn't all peachy. Do you know what I mean by peachy? Peaches and cream. It's not all, you know, I love you, you're my guru, I do everything that you tell me to do. I would argue with them sometimes. No, I'm not going to do that. Why should I do that anyway? Who do you think you are? Not understanding or appreciating the value of their association and what they were trying to do, what they were actually doing for me. Do you know what I mean? But later on I realized this person was actually worthy of my worship and respect and honor because they played a major role in helping me make a progress and advancement in Krishna consciousness based on the instructions that they were giving me and the example that they were setting for me. That makes sense? So, you know, sometimes we like to think of, you know, the guru and disciple relationship as being one that's always perfect, everything goes smoothly, you know, there's never any disharmony. the idea? But in reality, it may be something else. Far more, you know, down to earth and practical. And we may not be the best disciple that's always, you know, 100% surrendered to Krishna. But we're learning, we're practicing, actually. We're practicing to be devotees. How does that sound? Practical. Down to earth. Yeah, sorry if my English is not understandable. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So on this topic of taking up the mission of the spiritual master and the whole disciplic succession.
Yeah.
From the perspective, it seems, of management and also in, like, you know, as individuals, we are supposed to be realistic about the goals that we have. This is how I've heard.
We should be realistic. I think that applies just to personal everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, we should be realistic. But then we also have the example of Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas whose vision was so beyond the level of the people that they were around. Like, Prabhupada, his vision, his goals just seemed so preposterous. And he was acting in such a way that everyone would have thought he was completely crazy. Mm. They were thinking in that way, that he was crazy. So then it's like a kind of realism for the devotee, those pure devotees that, you know, few people could appreciate. So my question is, what, you know, how can we be ambitious, but at the same time... Well, I don't know. It's a difficult...
Ambitious?
I guess, yeah, because it seems...
And realistic.
Yeah. There, that might be it.
How to be... Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking just specifically of, the, you know, Prabhupada would say there is no impossible.
Yeah.
So, what is not realistic?
Well, nothing. You could, but let me think about it. You know, when I joined the temple, joined the ashram, then I had a lot of personal, and probably still do, had limitations. I limited myself. I was limited in my outlook as to what I could actually do. And I discovered by the Association of the Devotees that I had talents and capacities that I had never imagined I had. Right? You know, the mere thought of going out on the street and chanting Hare Krishna for me was, at one point in my career, absurd. Huh? I'm not going to go out with a bald head. Actually, just having a bald head was absurd. Because I don't have much of a choice now. But, you know, wearing robes, putting on tilak, I used to think, oh, this is crazy. You know, only crazy people do this kind of stuff, right? But then it wasn't long before I was one of the crazy people. But then Prabhupada said, who is crazy? Right? Who is crazy? Devotees are not crazy. It's you guys who are crazy. So I, you know, we have to be prepared, I think, as individuals to have some of our preconceptions completely upended. Just, you know, but also be prepared to land on our feet and to recognize some of the devotional realities. in the context of the preaching mission, you know, which means for us dedicating ourselves to an aspect of preaching in ISKCON where we can be settled and steady and work with others. And, you know, then be prepared for amazing things to happen, right? It'll take time to manifest, right? And it may appear to be very hard work or slow going or whatever, but, you know, Prabhupada had that vision that if we just followed his instructions, followed the basic practices ourselves, you know, 16 rounds, regulated principles, sadhana, worship the deities, take prasad, associate with the devotees, kirtan, all that kind of thing. But then the preaching, the excitement of the preaching mission. But then being prepared to tough it out, right? But results will come. And we see, you know, once where there was no temple, now there are temples. Along with the temples, there are devotees and there are communities gradually growing around those temples. And those communities of devotees are starting to have an impact on the society that they're in. And they're starting to make change. Right? Something which would have been considered, as you say, crazy or preposterous with Srila Prabhupada, you know, an elderly gentleman, 79, wasn't it? Or 69. You know, coming to America and saying to the gentleman, you know, in New York, the train conductor or whoever he was, you know, there are temples, there are farms, there are devotees, there are books. Right, then it was like, what is he talking about? But now we're seeing that actually what Prabhupada saw is coming to pass. Right? So what's realistic is finding our, you know, breaking out of that materialistic conception of who we are and entering into the spiritual conception and then working in that spiritual conception of life based on who we are and where we sit in our material conditioning but with our spiritual aspirations. Then working in such a way so that, because there's two dimensions, at least two dimensions and possibly more. There's the personal development, our individual spiritual development, and then there's the collective development of the community, which we want to see moving together, right? We want to see, we want to look after the needs of the individual. This is the trick. This is one of the art of management in ISKCON. Is to look after the people and keep them happy, which is, anybody here aspire to be a manager? Yeah? Well, I'll tell you now, it's impossible. It's impossible to keep everybody happy, but that's your job, right? Keep everybody happy and at the same time pursue the community's goals, because sometimes what's good for the community may not necessarily be good for the individual. So, you know, it's a balance. Look after the individuals, and then, you know, looking after the individuals means sometimes not always good for the community. So you've got to balance the two. So we as individuals have to work out how to fit into that system so that we're making spiritual progress ourselves, so the personal aspect is taken care of, but then also the community aspect is also going forward. That's the art of, you know, management, if you like, and keeping everybody happy and being happy and satisfied ourselves. Who likes to, does anybody like to associate with a miserable devotee? Huh? Always grizzling and complaining and doesn't want to do anything. Yeah. What happens? They leave the association of the devotees because they become too critical. So getting that balance means then having shelter of more advanced and senior people who have the experience, who have made the progress, who can help us work out where do I actually fit in all of this. So my spiritual life is progressing and I'm a positive contributor to the, you know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's where the senior, you know, the senior members of the community play a pivotal role in guiding and supporting the younger devotees so they can find that the place that's right for them. Do you know what I mean? And which is one of the reasons why this the role of the Siksha Guru is very important, and that we try to connect, you know, and as we build our communities and as we get older, then we'll have more of these senior and more experienced people who can give practical shelter so that we, you know, make advancement. Okay, I've gone on for a bit too long here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.